Turn in your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 8 and verse 24. Again, we've been doing a series on what Jesus stated in John chapter 8 when he was talking to these religious, the elite religious folks of his day. And he told them very plainly, without any apology or disclaimer, ye shall die in your sins. And that struck me, that Jesus was that forthright, that honest, to deal directly with sinners in such a way as to tell them, without reservation, if you don't believe on me, you don't believe on the one that God the Father has sent to be the Redeemer, the Messiah. If you don't believe that my death, burial, and resurrection is the way that you can be saved, you are going to die in your sins. He said it so plainly, so clearly. Nothing muddled about it. We live in a day and age when there's so much confusion about how to get to heaven. And Jesus made it so clear. Yeah, it's unmistakable in John 14:6 when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, last week we looked at, last week was our Bible conference. We looked at a lot of things last week. But the week before that, we looked at this idea, who is going to die in their sins? Precisely, who are the people that will die without Jesus? And the first point was clear. You're going to die in your sins if you've never been saved. If you've never been changed by the power of God in the new birth, if you've never been brought to life in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll die in your sins. Jesus said it in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except to be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's an impossibility. So if you've never been changed, you've never been saved. I've taught this, I've preached it, I've emphasized it, because religion tells you something entirely different. You can go on and just observe a few things here and there, and if you're a good enough person, you pay your taxes, you brush your teeth, you're nice to people, you're going to heaven. It's a lie. You have to be changed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I believe that. I preach it. I live it. Jesus changed me by the power of His grace. And we also looked last week, or the week before last, we saw that if you've never been brought to a place of repentance, a change of mind followed by a change in thinking, in action, again, it's a change in all of your life. If you've never been brought to the place where you see that you're broken, you're a sinner, you've rebelled against God, you're in the wrong place. In fact, you're wrong about all of it. And you take sides against yourself and believe what the Word of God says. And you trust Jesus. Jesus, again, made it so clear. You're not going to heaven unless you are brought to have this supernatural change of mind. He said in Luke 18:1, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. No repentance, no heaven. Now there's a lot of easy believism that goes on today. A lot of people say repentance is a work, and it's not. It's a gift of God. And that grace of repentance comes immediately with the new birth. As soon as a person is brought to spiritual life, they see what they are. They see what they need. They understand immediately by the power of God that they can't keep going in the direction that they are. They must turn to Christ in faith. Now, John 8:24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. And he gives a qualifier here. These people were unbelievers. They hated Christ. They hated the truth that he brought to them. He said, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That I am he, the one whom God the Father has sent. That I am he, the appointed Messiah. I am he, the resurrection and the life. I am he, the water of life. You see what Jesus is getting at? Without Christ, without faith in Jesus Christ alone, you will die in your sins. Those who do not savingly believe on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will die in their sins. Why aren't more preachers preaching this? This is a doctrine. It is one of the you say, why have you been preaching on this for the last two or three messages? Because if you don't heed it, you're going to die in your sins. If you don't hear it, if God doesn't change you, if you don't change and believe, you're going to die in your sins. I don't want that for you. I love you. I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving power more than anything else in this world. Nothing, absolutely nothing, compares to the salvation of a soul. Well, Jesus said it so clearly in John 8:24. Believe me, there is a huge difference between saving faith and mere historical or spurious faith. Say, well, tell me what you mean by that. It's not enough to believe in God. I don't know how many times as I've been, when I witness to somebody, one of the very first objections that they have is they'll say, well, I believe in God. And the reality is, if you really, and I try not to do this because I don't want to muddy things up, but when you really get down to what they mean by God, it's nothing even comparable to the God that's revealed in the Bible. Most people believe in a God that has been formulated in their mind or by some religious teacher. He's just a nice guy. He overlooks everything. He loves you and He'll never send you to hell. Listen, that's not the God of the Bible. He is. God is love. God is light as well. He's pure and holy. When you look at the attributes of God, you'll find out that God is all glorious. He is essentially holy in everything that He does. God, you must believe that God is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not the God of your imagination. Not the God of religious. A lot of religions promote God as though He's something that you can handle, that you can touch, that you can look at, that you can pray to, an idol, a statue, a picture, an emblem. No, that's not God. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I will tell you, somebody who did believe in the true and living God, who is damned for all eternity. You think about this. Satan, the devil, he had a right view of God. He had an understanding who God was. In fact, in his original state, Satan was a created angel of God. But he was subject to, he was not God. Meaning the fact that he was not infinite, he was not infallible, and he was not immutable. Now there's one for Al Mela. As three, as alliteration. Boy, that was really good too. But Satan was not any of that. He aspired to be like God. He wanted to usurp the throne of God, and God cast him down. He's fallen. But he believed in God. In fact, listen to what the devils believe as much about God, and they're reprobates who tremble at such knowledge. James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Satan and his fallen host believe in God, but they're damned for all eternity because it's a spurious faith. It's the faith of devils produced out of the energy of the flesh by man's wisdom. It's not enough to just simply assent that there to the idea that there is an existence of God. You must believe what God says, what God teaches in His Word, what He warns against. And a lot of people have put their faith in so many different things. Look at what's going on in our religious world. How many people think they're saved because the preacher led them through these steps that ended in them repeating a prayer? I believe people can be saved in spite of that. If the gospel is preached, even if a preacher is way out of bounds and is completely heretical, if someone believes with all their heart that Jesus died for their sins and was buried and rose again the third day and is alive forevermore, and that He did that for them, it doesn't matter how many steps a preacher may take you through. If you believe on Christ, you're saved. That's as clear as a bell. But all I'm telling you, there's been a lot of easy believism. All you got to do is bow your head, say a little prayer, sign the card, get baptized, follow through, all these things. Saving faith is always centered upon a person, not a plan, not a formula. Saving faith is always directed to the person, the work of Jesus Christ alone, not to a priest, not to a preacher who administers immersion in water, not to a building, not to statues or idols or necklaces or anything else. Christ and Christ alone is able to save sinners. You see, saving faith is not spurious. It's not misplaced. Saving faith comes from God. Men don't naturally believe. All you got to do is witness. Start talking to people, you're going to find out how many things that they place their faith in. I've heard it. If I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. Oh, yeah, I go to church. Are you saved? Oh, I go to church every Sunday. Oh, is that salvation? Don't get me wrong. I want you to come every Sunday. I think it's wonderful that you come every Sunday. But don't put your faith in that and what you do. There's no salvation in this building. Salvation's in a person. Now, granted, if you come here to Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church on Buffalo Creek Road or County Road 15 at 6939, you're going to hear the gospel. You're going to hear the way of salvation as Jesus Christ alone. But merely coming here will not save you. Oh, I've been baptized. Have you? Tell me a little bit about, I was sprinkled when I was a baby. Well, I'm sorry. Two things that are wrong with that. Number one, sprinkling is not baptism. Number two, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And a baby just goes, it just gets mad when you sprinkle the water on it. There is absolutely nothing that is saving in that. He don't have any idea what you're doing, what you're saying. He's just a baby. Now, maybe my kids, they were pretty exceptional. When they were little, maybe they had some understanding. I kept preaching to them right from the very beginning. First time I ever held them, I said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You got that, Katie? Josh, you got that? Aaron, you got that? Same thing with all my grandkids. I have practiced evangelism with my family from the very beginning. And I continue to do it to this very day. I point them to one person and one person only. Not to an ordinance, not to a building, not to a religion, not to good works, not to law keeping, to Jesus. And Jesus alone. You see, saving faith is a gift of God. And that saving faith involves a renunciation of all false hopes, works, and self-righteousness. Saving faith completely strips the sinner of all self-righteousness, causing him to completely trust in the merits and the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone for the saving of his soul. It's kind of like this language, like the old hymn writer said, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. O Lamb of God, I come. I don't know why people want to complicate this. It's a plain declaration of Scripture. The one time somebody actually asked the question, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Why add anything to that? Why take away from that? You see, when a person says, I have nothing, I am nothing, I need Christ, the day that I was saved, and I think this God does this with everybody, your circumstances, the way you were brought up, your level of depravity and all, they may be entirely different from me. But I think God brings all of us to this settled point when He brings us to salvation and draws us invincibly with the effectual call. We come to an end of ourselves, and it's like we're saying, I want to know Jesus more than anything else in the world. That's all I want Him. I want His salvation. When you say that, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling, that's the language of a sinner who's been graced with saving faith. Saving faith involves simply trusting that the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is the gospel stated, is the only way of acceptance with God. There is no other way. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. If you try to, you're not saved. You're trusting in something false. Saving faith is an act in a compound of belief and trust. Belief in God's testimony about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. To believe God on the question of salvation is to trust His Son as your Savior and nothing else. When a person truly believes on and trusts in Jesus Christ, he is saved. He is delivered from the penalty of sin. He will be delivered progressively because of the change that starts there from the power of sin. And one day He will be delivered completely from the very presence of sin. He will be like Jesus in a glorified state. So, when somebody believes and trusts in Jesus, he truly becomes a possessor of eternal life. You believe that? Here's what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have, present tense, everlasting life. You don't have to wait to die to get it. If you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have it right now. And because you've believed, God's given you that, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because God gives you that kind of saving faith, He will keep you. Now, again, it's a spurious faith if you believe a gospel that does not give you eternal life. Say, well, what do you mean by that? There's a lot of people that say, yeah, I believed, and then, you know, I didn't do something right. I got cross with the preacher. I quit church. I did this. And they say they lost their salvation. There's a whole host of preachers out there that tell people, you're saved by your free will, and you can be lost by your free will. I say, you're saved by the will of God and you're kept by the will of God. That's about as clear as can be in the Bible. If you're saved, it's forever. Jesus said so. And that really should settle it. John 5:24, verily, verily. Meaning, this is a double emphasized truth. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I got life right now. I'm never going to die. The spiritual part of me, that new nature, is going to live on forever. I'm in Christ. You say, but your body's going to die. That's exactly right. My body will die, but my soul and spirit will live on forever in the Lord, because I have everlasting life. You see, the moment that an individual believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're justified. They're declared not guilty and immediately become a possessor of eternal life. And to be justified means that Jesus bore your sins. They were charged to Him. And on that account, He paid the penalty, all of it, for those sins on the cross through His sacrifice, through His blood shedding, through the giving of His life. It means that Christ acted as your substitute, dying in your place so that you could have His righteousness charged to your account. It's the most glorious transaction, the most wonderful thing that could ever happen, that Jesus took your sins and in exchange, the day that He brings you to faith, He gives you His righteousness, the very righteousness of God, all that you need to get into heaven, freely given. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:24. It's so clear in the Bible. It's always about Christ. When Philip was preaching the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch out of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, he finally said, well, you know what? Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? After he had preached unto him Jesus. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There it is. No faith in the water. No faith in the preacher. Faith in the Savior. That's what saved the Ethiopian eunuch. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you believe on His Word? Will you believe what the Word of God says about Jesus? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can it be any clearer? Why do people want to add to it? Why do they want to take away from it? Why are there so many different religions? It all boils down to this. Man loves himself and hates the truth that God revealed. He thinks he's got a better way. That's what politicians are trying to push down people's throats, that they got a better way, a new system. If you just listen to them, they'll build things up to where it's a utopia. It's a lie from hell. You need Jesus more than anything else in this world. I love when in Acts chapter 13, where Paul says this, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Not in any way by law keeping or good works or in a religion. It's in Jesus." I love the illustration that C.D. Cole gave. When I was first saved, that was one of the first set of books that I ever read, was Definitions of Doctrine by C.D. Cole, that's printed, has been printed for years by Bryan Station Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky. And he has a great illustration about saving faith. He said, "All the elements in saving faith may be brought out by the use of an old illustration. The thoughts, feelings, and action of a person who stands by a boat upon a small island which is threatened by rising waters will represent the whole of saving faith. The person first regards the boat from a purely intellectual point of view. He believes the boat actually exists, just as the sinner believes there is a God and that there is a Savior. As the stream rises and swells, the man will look at the boat with some sense of emotion and feeling of interest. And so the sinner, under conviction of sin, has a feeling of concern for his safety. When the man sees the rushing tide is about to sweep him into the raging waters, he gets into the boat as the only way of escape. Getting into the boat is what actually saves him. And he cannot be said to have trusted the boat until he gets into it. And so the sinner may believe that Christ is the Savior, but he is not saved until he gets in to Him by faith. Not saved until he relies upon Him for salvation. The very essence of faith is reliance or trust." And again, only God brings you to that place. Sadly, there's a lot of people that say, that boat exists. I see it right there. And yet, they're overwhelmed by their sins and they drown in their sins. And one day, they're going to be placed in the ultimate place of condemnation, the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I think it's important for me to preach messages like this because people come to our church. You know a lot of doctrinal truth, but it's not enough just to believe that this is true. You have to believe on the Lord. And so I ask you, have you truly ever renounced all of your self-trust, all of your self-righteousness, and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? If you're trusting in your good works, your church membership, your baptism, the observing of sacraments or holy days or any other religious credentials you may be hanging on to, you've never truly, savingly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. without genuine faith in Christ, your sins have never been punished, and you must suffer the judgment of a righteous God and perish in your sins. Jesus told you to believe, and He also warned you what happens when you don't believe. John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." I know I've read this before, 1 John 5:10-12. "He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." The Pharisees in Acts 8, they didn't have life. Jesus said, because they don't believe on Him, "I hope you're trusting only in Jesus today." Let's all stand.